You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and what an astonishing day it's been. And I have to say that the 5 o'clock shadow this evening is one of the more remarkable 5 o'clock shadows I'm ever going to describe. And it's with Skalk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. And the reason is, Skalk, because I've always thought, and the reason that I get branded a bear is not because I want anything to be bearish, because it's bad for business, it's bad for marketing, it's bad for advertising spend for the few companies that have a look at my podcasts, etc. But the point is that I like the swiftness and the drama of a down market. The swiftness and the drama of this recent up market is as dramatic as what the downside was. I mean, look at this thing. It's extraordinary.
I think it could be even, you know, more dramatic, if I can say, because this is so against the trend. So, I mean, I was listening to some music while working today, and one stage U2 was singing "What a Beautiful Day." And I thought, gee, this is an African Bulls. This is the typical Mr. Locals that was running around and telling people, you know, somewhere along the lines that Africa will react. And I mean, what a reaction! And then, you know, next thing, I think some of these, you know, sort of African bears might be running around today and singing, you know, "We let the dogs out." Ooh. Ooh, ooh. it's an unbelievable day. The dogs are out. I mean, all these companies that we've been chatting, you know, for weeks, stating that they you know, in such a difficult position, you know, let's call them by name, the SA Inc. companies.
Yes,
they just had the most unbelievable day today. We'll chat about the market in general, but I mean, we'll be looking at a rand that's trading below 17 rand to the dollar again. So from, on that front, we're looking at about 1.3%.
Hallelujah.
Stronger currency. Mm. And we're seeing at a massive run. I mean, we will talk about the all share a bit later, but I think the index that most general equity managers in South Africa, you know, currently is using, or is mostly using, is what we call the capped SWIX, or the capped SWIX all share.
Before you go on, just treat me as a 4-year-old. What is the capped SWIX? Tell us.
So the capped SWIX, it very simplistically says it. It's exactly the same shares that is in the JSE all share. You know, every night when you switch on the movie, the television or news, or on a PC, and you see that the JSE all share today increase by 2.2%, then that's exactly the same shares that's within the all share, but they cap it to 10%. So every quarter, for instance, we chatted about Naspers and all Naspers and Prosus.
Yes.
So the combination of Naspers and Prosus within the all share is around about 25% already. So you know, the cap SWIX is saying, yo, that is maybe just pushing the risk envelope a little bit too far. So most, you know, unit trust managers, they use the cap SWIX, which is more in line with their mandates, capping, you know, a specific share to 10%. Now, that just means that there's more, let's call it the SA companies coming forward, because the combination of Naspers and Prosus, as I mentioned in the JSE, is 25%.
Right.
Within the cap SWIX, it's 18%. So more or less, let's call it 10-11% is Naspers, and the remaining, call it 7%, is Prosus. So this was a South African day. I mean, when you look at the cap SWIX today, the cap SWIX is up over 3%. And I've just mentioned that the rand is stronger, 1.3%. So in dollar terms, we pretty much had a 4-4.5% day. When last did we see a 4-4.5% day in dollar terms?
I can never remember it, actually, Skalk. I cannot remember any time. Well, maybe in the last 10 years, maybe 3 or 4 times.
Now, this is not because Lindsay is old. This is just because it's been so long.
Careful, Skalk.
Both of us. I mean, I can't remember it either, and I'm not the youngest either. So, Lindsay, I totally agree with you. This is good news.
It's fantastic news.
You know, better question is it that big theory about even a broken clock is right twice a day? And this is the day that we've been waiting for, and we'll soon move back to normality. Or is this Is this the start of a recovery that, you know, a lot of fund managers out there has been advocating? We'll chat about that.
I take my hat off to the people that actually stuck to their guns and said, no, this is not a dead cat bounce. This is the real thing. This is the V-shaped recovery. You know, it's like watching one of your favorite soap operas, mine at the moment, because there's no new soap operas or new series coming out on the BBC. I'm re-watching Downton Abbey, and I watch Downton Abbey and everyone's happy, and then somebody dies. Somebody has a baby. Somebody runs away. Someone has an affair. It's almost like that. You know, you think, oh, gosh, I love this program, and then suddenly you think to yourself, oh no, I really liked him, I really liked her, and now they're dead, that sort of thing. But anyway, let's get the backdrop to this whole conversation now by looking at the markets that you've just described in very enthusiastic terms. I must say, you sound as though you've had a good day, you and your clients. Anyway, the dollar rand, look at this thing, 1691. It was 1934 2 months ago, or less than that, actually, where the British pound against the rand is 21.30. The euro rand, ooh, look at that thing. It's changed its big figure as well. It's 18.99. The euro dollar, and this is the thing that surprises me, talking to another commentator, 112.30. Euro dollar, 112.30. Another 0.5% fall for the US dollar. Does that mean that the gold price has gone up because the dollar's gone down? No, it doesn't. Exactly the opposite. The gold price is $16.96, down $32 an ounce. The platinum price is down 9 to 8.39, and the Brent crude oil price is, hold on, let's have a look at this one. It's more or less unchanged. Let's call it unchanged. Up a quarter for the West Texas, down a quarter for the Brent crude oil price. So really nothing happening there. Why is gold going down, Skulk? Is it because everyone's saying, well, I'm going to have to liquidate my commodities because I want to be in equities?
Well, I'm watching a U.S. market that is stronger, 1.6%. We just explained to you how weird and wonderful the South African market is done. And when we look at the PMI figures this morning from China, I mean, that was, you know, just to put it mildly, was one of the biggest increases. Well, it has been the biggest jump since 2010, or more specifically, you know, September 2010 from China. So I think back to your gold question. Remember, we've been chatting about this. You buy gold when everyone is fearful. You know, this is typically the fear factor in investment, and it's done phenomenal. I mean, it had a phenomenal 2020, naturally, with all the uncertainty and the worries around COVID-19. Did COVID-19 just miraculously disappear? No. But, you know, I think what the market is telling us, you know, for the past week, is they're now looking beyond COVID-19. And, you know, we've said this for quite a few weeks. Do not underestimate the amount of stimulus that's been pumped into this market. This is the biggest amount of stimulus that we've, you know, larger in a shorter period of time than we've seen, you know, post World War II. Now, I think this is fantastic. Get back to your main question, gold. Gold might be in for a rocky ride if this market's continuing.
It really is. I mean, it kept on bashing its head against 1750. That's 1750. I think it went to 1780 at one stage. But the point is that people are just saying, well, that was the only game in town 2 months ago. Now we may as well just forget about it. It's a small part of our portfolio. Let's get on to the equities. Now I have to ask you what the Dow Jones, the S&P and the NASDAQ are doing at the moment, because this is a developing story as well.
Yeah, it's a lot. We're looking at Dow Jones currently, you know, positive 1.6%, as I mentioned. The S&P 500, again, 1.2% stronger as we currently speak. And the NASDAQ somewhat slower. But, I mean, it had a very, very strong run, you know, prior to recent markets being playing catch-up. So that's up, you know, 0.35%, you know, as we currently speak.
Have you ever seen anything like the moves that you've seen in individual stocks? I know there's a base effect. I know stocks have come off a very low base. So, in other words, if something comes down from 100 rand a share down to 10 rand a share, if it goes up 5 rand from 10 rand, that's a 50% move. And we've seen that with a lot of smaller and mid-cap stocks. But have you ever seen moves like this in your extensive career in financial services?
You see very little of these movements, you know. And I've been in the market now, let's say, close to 30 years. And you do see very little of these type of movements. But, I mean, it just comes back to that, you know, and I'm not going to run to the exact figures again, but there's an age-old statistical figure that they look at where they say, well, when we look at the last 20, 25 years, if you pretty much missed the top 25, you know, best performing days, you know, how your performance went from, you know, 25 years, we were looking at a figure of about 15, just over 15% per annum. If you missed the top 25, your top 25 best performing days, that figure came down to just over 8%. You pretty much lost 40% per annum on your performance, just on that top 25 performing days. If you missed the top 75, you pretty much had no growth. You pretty much were zero. So I think that the important message on days like today is you need to be in it to win it. You know, a lot of people will be run on emotion. We know fears play a big part. And you know, up to the end of last year, when we look at the U.S. market, greed was playing a huge part on the U.S. markets as well, and to a certain extent still does. So I think the important message as an investor is when you invest in equities, I know your financial advisor usually sit down with you and say, remember, you, this is a long-term investment. You need to have a seven-year horizon at least. What it actually means is don't try and time it, because if you miss days like today, you miss a pretty good game. So, yeah, fantastic. It's these small little victories, and I'll take it.
This is not a small victory. This is a massive victory. The all-share index was way below 50 just a week ago, and now it's pushing, you know, 54,000. But anyway, we'll come to those numbers in a second. I don't want to get into too much company stuff because this is across-the-board buying. I want your opinion, as briefly as you can, who is doing this? Is this across the board? Is it a local fund manager, cabal coming together and just pushing it up just because they're all bullish? Is it international investors looking at an incredibly cheap JSE Securities Exchange and a RAND that is ridiculously cheap? What is your opinion? Why is it going up?
So I think the short answer is when we look at, for instance, you know, our currency is stronger, you know, 1.2-1.3%. So clearly there's been investment. When we look at, for instance, the Brazilian real for today, that's positive 3.3%. So what we're seeing here is remember that the emerging markets has been sort of the neglected part, you know, the investment that everybody sort of were extremely worried. Especially, you know, since COVID-19 now began, everybody was saying, well, it's a risk-off scenario. Because as we went into 2020, and I worked through most of these big banks or big financial institutions, global financial institutions, financial reports for 2020, and everybody had a different view. You know, most people had a view that the U.S. markets were a little bit overvalued. They still wouldn't go short the U.S. market, but they felt, you know, the general consensus was, you know, that the U.S. markets were overvalued. But then certain investment companies felt that there was still a lot of opportunity within the U.S. market. So there was a different view, you know, on Europe, different views on Japan. The one thing that I would say all of these companies had in common, the golden thread was, they felt we're going to go into 2020 as a risk-on environment, and that emerging markets is one of the better buys or better opportunities to go into. And naturally, you know, we saw Corona or COVID-19 turn out, and the whole environment went from risk-on to risk-off in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, I think what we're seeing here, this is, you know, most investors saying, well, maybe, you know, the opportunities currently from your developed markets, more specifically from the U.S., is now starting to just taper off a little bit. You know, remember, it did a lot over the last, you know, 10 years. You know, look at 10-year figures, it's fantastic. But over the last 5 years, the U.S. market's done a lot. We might just be seeing, you know, global investors moving towards risk on. And South Africa is still the sixth largest emerging country, or sixth largest emerging market in the world. So if you get this risk on, this move towards emerging markets, naturally South Africa would definitely take advantage out of it as well, which we've seen. So yeah, that's my view.
What a couple of days it's been. What a couple of weeks it's been. What a year it's been so far, 2020, just me.
It's not over yet.
No, it's really not. It's only just begun.
Not even over yet. I think we're in for a quite an interesting second half of the year. Remember, I can't believe we're in June. I can't believe we're already talking about the second half.
June the 3rd.
Yes, it's crazy. But I think we've been talking about this for at least the last 3 weeks, where we said we just always remember the moment you start to try and call that top in the market, saying that we should be seeing the double bottom again. We should be seeing a double dip because COVID still got the effect. We kept on saying, just remember the amount of stimulus that we've seen. Just remember that. Do not take, because the moment everybody, and that's the one thing I've also learned, over the last few years, is when everybody think the market is going to crash, you won't see the market crash.
And just when you think that the market is not going to crash, and when people like Lindsay Williams, who's a notorious bear because he likes bearish markets because that's good broadcasting material, just when he starts to get enthusiastic and all warm and fuzzy about the fact the market's going up, that's when you've got to be careful. The top five major moves of the day so far, we're closed. The JSE Securities Exchange, top five movers on my screen, Redefine, a property company. Up 28%. Hammerson, a property company. There you go, nervous laugh. You sound like a hyena. Hammerson up 21%. Absa Group, and that's a bank, my bank actually, up 13%. Hello? No one's got any money. No one's transacting. Standard Bank up 12.4%. Brilliant. Nedcor up 11.75%. On the downside, Remgro. Just explain the Remgro story down 23%. It's obviously a technicality. Tell us more.
It's just a technicality. Do not read anything into it. Remember, they had the unbundling of RMBH.
Yes.
And that it basically went X, if you want to call it XDIF today.
Right.
So today, all that you're seeing is Remgro's share price without the RMBH.
So recalibration of what the portfolio is. Correct. So we understand that. Harmony.
In actual fact, that should be also very, very strong. If you take the RMB and the Remgro share price, you should also have a very positive day. As I would say it's about 25% of Remgro is banks anyway.
Harmony down 11.1%. DRD Gold down nearly 9%. Goldfields down 8.6%. Anglo Gold down 6.1%. All to do with that gold price, obviously, and the stronger rand. The worst possible scenario for gold shares. They've had their day in the sun for a while anyway, and they're licking their wounds. Give us the closing JSE indices, please, Skulk.
I would love to do that, Lindsay. I thought you're never going to ask.
Go on.
So, JSE All Share today ended today at 2.2% higher. The resource index, naturally, as you just alluded, with all the downward pressure from the gold, that was down 60 basis points, so it was negative. The industrial index were up 1.91%, and wait for it, the financial index.
Go on.
Enjoying a fantastic rand day. That is up 9% for the day. That is our repeat.
I've never seen that before.
9% up for the financial index. And also, I'm going to, again, stop for a second just to mention the SA Property Index, because I had that nervous laugh when you mentioned Redefine, because this is also an environment where a lot of people were quite vocal in terms of, most property stocks will go under. And I think, definitely, we're in a new normal. When we move out of this lockdown or fully out of this lockdown, I think a lot of companies, a lot of retail outlets are going to revisit their needs towards the size of property. And that could affect the prices on properties. But it was just some of these property companies were priced for bankruptcy.
Yes.
And I think all that you're seeing now is a lot of people just realize, well, you know what, when you look at the growth point, they're still sitting with the waterfront. Waterfront is still going to have exactly the same. When we open up tourism, people are still going to love Cape Town. They're still going to go to Cape Town. They're still going to go to the waterfront. That's one of their prime properties. So as you drill through them, the property stocks definitely is starting to look fairly attractive. I would caution everyone that I think there's a few companies that is reason for worry. And when you buy into property company, make sure you do your homework, make sure you speak to a specialist, because there is a few worries on that. But I digressed. The SA property sector today up 6.5%. So what a day.
What a day it is. Yeah, don't become too complacent about this. Skulk, what was the volume traded today? The value traded on the JSE?
So that's another thing. When you ask earlier, was this driven by locals? Was this driven? So pretty solid day. We're looking at a day, 28 billion day. So when we look at the average daily trade or value trade, you know, for the past 3 years, we look at the average daily trade of about 20 billion per day.
Yes.
Now, when we look at a 28 billion day, that's about 20%, you know, more than what we usually expect. You can expect that this was mostly driven by foreigners. So that's also a very, very good sign.
Very good indeed. My quote of the day comes from Alan Greenspan. He was in the bath in 2008 and he thought of the phrase irrational exuberance. Okay. Now, it was his phrase which became quite famous and in fact infamous. And I'm not saying that the market is irrationally exuberant at the moment, but this is what he says. And it was on the 5th of December 1996, and it was from the Challenge of Central Banking in a Democratic Society. That was his speech. It says the following: clearly, sustained low inflation implies less uncertainty about the future, and lower risk premiums imply higher prices of stocks and other earning assets. We can see that in the inverse relationship exhibited by price earnings ratios and the rate of inflation in the past. But how do we know when irrational exuberance has unduly escalated asset values? It's a long-winded quote of the day, but just be a little bit careful that there might be a few people that are in there that shouldn't be in there, and maybe we come back a bit. But if not, then the V-shape is in place, Skulklow.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Let's just be very, very, you know, sure that when you call a top, or let's call it that, this recovery that we've seen has done too much too quickly. Just always remember that, you know, these companies that react to today, the companies which you just mentioned, the APSAs, the Standard Banks, these companies that have these big reactions, even 10% reactions, they were cheap, and they're still cheap. So there's a very good reason for the movement today. And be very careful in calling a top on that as well, because they're still cheap.
Indeed. And just on that Greenspan thing, the 2008 reference was his book that he published in 2008. In fact, he was in the bath in 1996 when he came up with that.
Can I ask you to stop? To stop referring
talking about
to
Alan Greenspan being in a bath.
In the bath.
Yes, men in baths, and really not anything to do with the 5 o'clock shadow. But that was the 5 o'clock shadow. And Skulklow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town.
The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.